talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Temperatures ain't out too bad. Some of our area temperatures, it looks like Tipton and Altus are the chilliest at 21. Mangum's 25, Cheyenne's 26, Eric's 26, Hollis 25, Bessie 24. Weatherford's at 20, so I guess there'd be the cold spot, them and Hobart. And Camargo's the warmest at 30, so it's warming up. Man, what's going on out there today just beats yesterday and the day before, just beats it to the ground because it was cold yesterday. It was worse than bitterly cold. Cattle, hope everybody's cattle are all right. I know I've heard some people not having good luck and had some people had good luck. A friend of mine up at Grimes, they had three or four that they brought into the barn to blow dry and dry off and give a bottle of colostrum and stuff. And I had two yesterday. We had to do that. So far, so good on that. The one heifer that wasn't wanting to claim her calf, I confined her to a really small pen yesterday and put up a wind block for her with some bales of hay and put a half a bale in there for her and a calf to bed on. And this morning I got there, I was there at 1 o'clock this morning, but at daybreak I was watching her, and this little heifer calf was pretty persistent. And she wasn't really just whacking at it hard with her foot. She just kind of easing and kind of pushing it off. But that little girl was persistent. She got her belly full, and all that cow did was got her some Pilates exercise by raising her foot up and down because she was pretty sneaky. She was getting in there. So I've got advice of a good friend over in Washtenaw County. I'm going to leave them penned up together for 4 or 5 days just to make sure that their relationship is off to a good start and not go leave that little girl out in the pasture and forget about her. So 27 degrees right now, 19 is the wind chill, winds are out of the west, 8 miles an hour, humidity's 52%. So I'll have your long ranger forecast for you coming up later in the show, but right now, let's do some grain reports. Kind of everything's hanging in there pretty tight. The soybean and grain futures rose in overnight trading as investors again looked at the fundamental picture for agriculture commodities. In Argentina, it looks like it's cutting its outlook for soybean production to 42 million metric tons yesterday, from a prior 44 million metric tons due to severe drought the past 2 months. The grains exchange last month cut its production estimate 11% to 40 million metric tons. The USDA in January projected soybean output in Argentina at 46.5 million metric tons, and that was even down from 49.5 million tons from last month. It is scheduled lots of things coming out next week in the grain market, so they're going to schedule an update on its forecast February 9th. Wheat futures also were higher in overnight trading. I mean, ongoing concerns about the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, two of the world's biggest grain exporters of wheat. The U.S. said Russia is planning a fake video that will indicate Ukraine forces attacked Russian soil even after Russia moved more than 100,000 troops in recent weeks to the border separating the countries. The U.S. has backed off of exertion that the attack by the Russia was an imminent, but said it's still a possibility. Talks between the United States and Russia have been slow. Russia's demand that Ukraine never be allowed to become a member of NATO has been the non-starter, according to the U.S. officials. Russia, on the other hand, said NATO is undermining security in the region. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 4.5 cents to $15.48 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 20 cents to $436.90 a short ton, and soybean oil futures added 0.69 cents to 66.4 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery added 3/4 to $6.17.5 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery gained 4.25 cents to $7.56 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 8 cents to $7.77 a bushel. Well, export sales of U.S. grains declined week to week. Export sales of corn and wheat dropped week to week, while bean sales rose, according to the USDA. Corn sales in the 7 days that ended on January 27th was reported at 1.18 million metric tons, and that's down 16% from last week. But that's still up 47% from the prior four-week average. Japan was the biggest buyer at 475,300 metric tons, followed by Mexico at 210,100 tons, and Colombia at 136,100 tons. Guatemala bought 120,700 metric tons, and Canada took 55,600 tons from U.S. supplies. Exports for the week plunged 19% to 1.17 million metric tons. Wheat sales dropped 57,000 metric tons, and that's down 92% from the previous week and 83% from the average. Colombia purchased 52,800 metric tons. Nigeria was in there for 52,000 tons. Haiti took 27,000 tons. And Nigeria bought 21,000 tons. And the Dominican Republic took 17,000 tons. The total would have been bigger, but an unnamed country nixed shipments of 75,000 metric tons. The Philippines canceled 46,900 tons. And Mexico canceled contracts of 21,000 tons of U.S. wheat. Exports for the week, however, rose 6% to 383,600 tons. And last but not least, soybean sales rose 7% from the previous week, 1.1 million metric tons. That's up 56% from the prior four-week average. Mexico, 356,000 tons. Egypt, 135,000 tons. And the Netherlands purchased 132,000. And an unknown country bought 90,600 tons. And Japan took 88,000 tons. I wonder, you catch it in these reports every day, of these unknown countries. I wonder if they pay cash or if it's they give a check that says unknown from the unknown bank with the unknown signature. Never did get that, but I'm not in this business, so I guess I'll never figure it out. But Singapore canceled 66,000 tons, and China nixed 28,600 tons, bringing the weekly total down. Exports in the 7 days from January 27th total 1.33 million metric tons, and that's a 17% decline from last week. Well, as you guys all know, we got cold weather going on of basically over the eastern two-thirds of the United States, basically from the Rockies this way. Extremely cold weather persists in much of the northern plains and southern plains, while Texas and the Northeast are still getting slammed by storms, according to the National Weather Service. In much of North Dakota, wind chill advisory is in effect all day today as values hit minus 40 degrees. That's cold. Winter weather advisories, meanwhile, are still to take effect and overnight into northern Minnesota with an additional 2 to 4 inches of snow and wind gusts up to 35 miles an hour. Values are forecast to fall as low as minus 20 in parts of Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. The advisories will expire at noon today, so that's probably over. In central Texas, a winter storm warning remains in effect until 10 a.m. as ice and sleet accumulate yesterday and remain on the highways. Ours are starting to melt a little bit out here, but it's still pretty hazardous in spots, so don't just... be careful until the roads thaw out and clear away. Winter storms that affected most of the central U.S. this week has moved into the northeastern United States. In upstate New York, heavy snow is expected throughout the morning into this afternoon. Well, I'm thinking about it. The bull sale, the Western Oklahoma bull sale up there that the Roger Mills Cattle Association puts on in Cheyenne is still a go. So it's going to be wet and nasty out there. Get your chores done in the morning and head on up to Cheyenne and go to the bull sale. Everybody, from my phone call I got earlier, all the bulls are going to be there, even the ones that are traveling. So it's still a go. They're setting up. Bulls are arriving today, probably as we speak, so it's still a go. And the goat and sheep sale at Hobart Stockyards is not tomorrow, it's a week from tomorrow at 11 a.m. Elk City Livestock Auction is not going on today, so if you went there and there wasn't any cars in the parking lot, probably figured that out on your own. But Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be going on. Brandon would text me to let me know one way or the other. Well, when I come back after the break, I'll give you some results from the Woodward Livestock Auction they had yesterday. They went ahead and had theirs yesterday. Looks like everything's in check. Might have been down a few cents, but. And then I got a little information that will be coming from the this week was going on down in Houston. The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show was happening in Houston. Got some good news from one of our guys that is born and raised in ranches right here in Western Oklahoma, in Roger Mills County, be specific. He got him an upgrade. He got promoted and voted in, so I'll talk about that just a little bit when we come back. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 12:30 p.m. They're feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 12:30 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, February the 1st. We sold 508 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday with the weather, February the 3rd, we sold 782 calves and feeders for a total of 1,290 cattle for the week. Slaughter cows, 1 to 2 higher. Again, bulls, 6 to 8 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows, 81.5 to 86.50. Thin cows bring 51 to 76, with the bulls bringing 91 to 113. 2 day year-old bred cows, 900 to 1210, with their 9 and older bred cows, 735 to 885. 9 and older pairs, 1200 to 1340. Hunter steer kennel, 350 to 4 weight steers, $170 to $2. 450 to 5 weights, $188.50 to $190. 5 to 550, $165 to $182. 6 to 650, $156 to $173.25. 32 steers weighting 718 bring 161, with their 8 day 50 steers, 147 to 155. 3 steers weighing 990 bring 138. Hunter heifers, 4 to 5 weight heifers, 160 to 163. 5 to 550, 140 to 157. 6 to 650 heifers, 135 to 153, 750 day weights, 143 to 147, 8-day 50, 141 to 145, and 31 Heifers weighing 867, bring 143. 13 Heifers weighing 906, bring 134. Good market. Cows topping 86.5, bulls top 113. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller. Never lying to the buyer. We have 14 feeder buyers every week on Thursday. Plus farmers and ranchers. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Well, it's slowly warming up out there. 29 degrees, wind chills at 20. The winds are out of the west at 9 miles an hour. So somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock, hopefully we're hitting that 34 degree mark. It's just time to thaw out a little bit. That wasn't too bad, 2 or 3 days of it, but not unlike that one last February where we, what was that, 2 weeks long? Golly, and I was lucky. I didn't have any cattle calving during that deal, but not this year. There's a lot of little black girls over there, heifers that was just, they're probably going to be a couple born when I get there after the show today. But anyway, so far, so good. I've only lost one out of the whole deal, and we did our best to try to save her, but it didn't happen. Well, live cattle are up, and no, it didn't show up. But feeder cattle are steady. Let me repeat that. Feeder cattle steady at 166.17, April 171.45. Lean hogs are February 86.85, April 99.87, May 103.42. They're slightly down from a little bit from last year, but for the most part, dropped my pen. For the most part, they're pretty steady. Everything's looking good. Well, at the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday on some of the cattle, I'm going to just go over, like I always do, some of them. There was some 390 average weight calves were bringing up to $2, and their average was $186.95. I think that's slightly down from what everything was selling for last week, but I think weather probably had more to do with it yesterday than anything else, because all over the country right now, all your 3, 4, and 5 weights are near $2 and over. 484 average weight, bringing up to $1.90. 189.30 was the average weight. Here's some 524 weights. 182 was the highest, but their average was 174.32. Your 600 weights, here's some at 625. 173.25 was a high. Average was 169.99. 7 weights, we got some in here. 759 average weight, bringing up to $1.59. 158.31 was the average weight. Then your 800 weights was bringing basically anywhere from 147 to 152. On the heifers, 400 weights here, $1.60. Anywhere in the 400s, they was basically bringing 160. But it's like somebody took a pretty good hit with some unwinged ones at $1.33, 451 weights. And then we got some 5 weights, 527, 157, high, 151.78 was the average. Some 571 weights here, 157 was a high again, but the 156.79 was their average price. And then some 600 weights was bringing up to $1.53 with 151.09, your average weights. Well, this morning, we had some visitors in our studio, Mr. Brody Rice and Mr. Blake Wilson come in. Brody was coming in to do some negotiating with Nathan downstairs and do some recording on some of his advertising he's going to do coming up with TDC Services. That Brody, dude, you talk about a nervous wreck. You would have thought he was going to be interviewed on TV by Howard Cosell or Tom Brokaw or somebody. I had to go out to my pickup and get some of the towels that I was using to clean off and dry off some of my baby calves. I had to go get some of them because he was sweating while he's doing this interview. I mean, he wasn't even on TV. It was just me and Blake sitting there watching him. And that probably was making him nervous because Blake and I probably at times can be distracting, I guess. We're nice, but not distracting. But yeah, I had to wipe him down a couple times because of the sweat. And if I'd had some underarm deodorant or something, I'd probably gave it to him because I know that wasn't working in here. But anyway, but it was really fun to have them in the studio this morning. It's two good guys. And stay tuned for further details with Brody and his new adventure he's got going at TDC Services of Western Oklahoma. So that's going to be fun. Anyway, well, some good news out of Houston this week, or lots of news out of Houston. Hopefully I can get Mr. Jimmy Taylor, who was down there, and some other people to come on that were down at that the convention, the Cattle Industry Convention and the NCBA trade show. I'm going to briefly say this because I'm going to get the main press release, but our own born and raised Jimmy Taylor was elected to serve as the vice chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board in Houston this week. Jimmy and his wife, Tracy, most of you guys know them all, own and operate the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County. So a big congratulations goes out to Jimmy Taylor on his new role as vice chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board of the United States. So anyway, it's the national board. So anyway, congratulations to that. And had a press release what was going on down there. And I got to admit, last year when I was reading that deal about what Cattle Facts was predicting to happen last year up to this point, they were actually spot on. So here's what they're talking about coming up this year. So all you cattle guys, listen up here. The popular Cattle Facts Outlet Seminar held as part of the 2022 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in Houston shared expert market and weather analysis. Cattle price and profitability trends for producers are pointed in the right direction, even as challenges and uncertainty persist with continued disruptions from the pandemic, while other issues around labor and packing capacity have lingered. Both are expected to improve in the year ahead. These expansions in capacity, combined with strong global and domestic consumer beef demand, suggest increased profitability across segments, signaling a market that is more healthier and more stable in the year to come. Kevin Good, who is the Vice President of the Industry Relations and Analysis at Cattle Facts, reported the U.S. beef inventories have fallen more than 700,000 head in the past year and are off nearly 1.6 million from cycle highs. This year, the beef cow herd was nearly 30.1 million head. The drought, the market, the processing capacity challenges affected 30 to 40% of the cow herd over the last year. Without an improvement in weather and profitability, at least 250,000 more head will be liquidated in 2022. Hopefully our drought is a short one. That's all I can say. I'm praying for a short one. Because it's dry out there. I'm pretty nervous about what's going on with the wheat right now. I mean, there's still some green out there, but you know what? It's dormant. We'll see what happens when it comes out of its dormant stage. The feeder cattle and calf supply will be 675,000 head smaller than last year, totaling 25.5 million head. Fed cattle slaughter will decline 400,000 head, lower compared to last year at 25.7 million head. Commercial beef production will contract over the next several years with a 2% decline this year in 2022. Good forecasted the average 2022 Fed steer price at $140 CWT. That's up $18 from last year with a range of 130 to 155 CWT. Throughout the year, all cattle classes are expected to trade higher and prices are expected to improve. The 800-pound steer is expected to average 172 with a range of 158 to 184. And the 550-pound steer price is expected to average 205 with a range of 180 to 230. And we're, except for that sale yesterday, we've been there. We're there. Finally, good forecast at utility cows at an average of $75 with a range of $65 to $85. And bred cows at the average of $1,850 a head with a range of $1,700 to $2,000 for load lots of quality running age cows. Consumer demand for beef at home and around the globe remains strong in 2021, a trend that will continue in 2022, especially as tight global protein supplies are expected to fuel the United States export growth. This will also drive beef prices from end users to consumers to continue higher in the coming years. While U.S. media household income increased in 2021, history high. Inflation is affecting low to middle class income Americans the most. Inflation is also driving beef prices to a higher trading range. The USDA all fresh beef retail should average nearly $7.15 a pound this year, ultimately resulting in more margin in the system. According to Good, wholesale demand will likely slow in the coming year, but cutout value should hold steady near $280 on the average for 2022. Global protein demand has been continuing to rise, and the U.S. beef exports are expected to grow by 5% this year to 3.7 billion pounds. The increases were led by large year-over-year gains into China, Japan, and South Korea. The tightening of global protein supplies will support stronger U.S. red meat exports in 2022. Mr. Mike Murphy, who is the Cattle Facts Vice President of Research and Risk Management Services, expects summer weather patterns and the effect on corn and soybean yields to be the focus of the market participants this year. With the expectation of normal weather next spring, Cattle Facts is forecasting planted corn acres at 91.8 million acres with a trend line yield expected at 180 bushels per acre. Soybean acres are expected to remain nearly steady at 87.2 million acres for the 2022-23 marketing area. And there you have it. And I'm glad to I can't wait for Mr. Taylor to get back, come on the show, give us some more details on what's going to be happening with the NCBA this year and the whole nine yards. I had a couple of guys on the phone and text message ask me why I haven't mentioned anything about the JBS lawsuit settlement, because I think it's worthless information. That's why. And sorry, I mean, I can report it if you want to, and I'm sure everybody's already got it in their emails, especially farmers and ranchers. But they settled for, what, $25 or $54 million because of price fixing. And no farmer, no rancher, or no consumer is going to get that money. It's probably all going to stay with the government. It didn't settle nothing. It didn't fix nothing. So basically, I'm just telling you, I could care less about it. We all knew there was some of that was going on. Didn't know who was doing it. I don't think all four of the big processors are doing it, but JBS is more Brazilian-owned than American-owned, so I could see that going on because they've gotten trouble in Brazil. But anyway, it didn't settle nothing. It just they paid a fine, got their hands slapped, and it'll just keep going on. So ain't no use in reporting about it and crying and whining about it. So anyway, when we get back, we'll talk some more cattle. Right now, that's what's going on is cattle. And so anyway, it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 28th. 879 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 455 brought 215. 14 at 573 brought 184. 3 at 632 brought 153. 54 at 698 brought 163.25. 9 at 753 brought 147. 7 head of heifers at 326 brought 169. 9 at 449 brought 155. 11 at 525 brought 149. 3 at 543 brought 155. 29 at 662 brought 152.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 84, butcher bulls 75 to 107.50, bred cows 500 to 1385, pairs brought 525 to 1435. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mind Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I was talking about the JBS deal, and I looked on the text messages during break, and the major, he asked me about that. So anyways, Einsteins all think alike, don't they, Major? So anyway, yeah, and thank you for my, I mean, Major, you text me back if you want to, but what did it settle? They got fined, they got their hand slapped, they're not being forced to repair nothing or fix nothing. The producers aren't going to get a penny out of it. The consumers ain't going to get a penny out of it. And so there's just nothing to talk about. And anyway, so let's go back to the weather here. Make sure it's updated. And yep, 30 degrees. We hit the big 3-0. Anyway, 22 wind chill. Winds are still out of the west at 9 miles an hour. Next segment. I also want to say big shout out, big thank you. We got two new sponsors on the show in the last week, Everett's Welding and Repair up at Vice Eye. I actually shop there, and they don't even know who I am. They do now. But anyway, I like to keep low profile. I don't want anybody giving me a discount because I'm a celebrity or nothing. But anyway, Jimmy and Debbie and Jordan, thank you so much for being a sponsor on the show with your Davis Angus and your bull and female sale. Hey, speaking of that, let me grab the new penny news. You know how many sales are going on right now? We got the Western Oklahoma bull sale tomorrow, and I was looking through the penny news. We got the wide body sale going on down in Escaline, Escaline, Texas. Angus, Charlotte bulls, and Angus females going on, and that's going to be going on tomorrow. And then I seen another somewhere. I was just briefly reading it through there a minute ago. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it's the one at Arapahoe, the Harrison sale. Yeah. Anyway, it's going on wherever that's at. I lost it. I'll find it here and talk about it in a minute. I know it's in here somewhere, but anyway, it's that time of the year. It's the bull sales, cow sales, replacement sales. You know, we got a lot of them in the fall, and a replacement cows and heifer sales in the fall. But man, with the cattle count being down because the northern northwest and the west and up north all being in drought, and they did some calling, and hopefully they come out of the drought. And speaking of that, we got a new drought map came out yesterday, but we got and there a lot of that cattle. I've seen some of them, a lot of those cattle were down here, but heck, here we go. We're kind of in one with her right now, and it's like had Chad on there yesterday, and we was talking. You know, Chad's got a plan B because if we stay in this drought, even with irrigation, it takes a lot of water. It takes a lot more water during a drought than a normal season is what he was basically saying yesterday. So, you know, a lot of people got to do some staying on. Well, according to the new drought map, it doesn't look like anything's changed except I think the D4 up there in the Oklahoma Panhandle extends out into Colorado and New Mexico a little bit now. That looks like a dark red line extended itself out a little bit. But we're all still in a deep D3. But in our area, widespread heavy rain fell this week in southeast Texas, leading to improvements in the ongoing moderate drought and abnormal dryness. Otherwise, this week was mostly dry across the region. I know we got a bunch of snow out there right now, but it was pretty dry snow. So extreme drought developed in parts of northern Louisiana and southern Arkansas and northeast Texas and in southeast Oklahoma. And some ongoing extreme drought areas expanded in this region as well. Their short-term precipitation deficits worsened and soil moisture and stream flow decreased. Severe drought expanded into south-central Texas and north of Lubbock, just southwest of here, while extreme drought north of Lubbock shrank in a coverage due to lessened precipitation deficits there. Widespread extreme drought is ongoing across most of northwest Texas and western Oklahoma, with a narrow strip of an exceptional drought, as I talked about earlier, present in the western Oklahoma Panhandle and northeast New Mexico. Burn bans remain in effect in parts of the southern plains where the winter wheat crop is also struggling. Matter of fact, during this next upcoming break, I'll check out and see if we had five counties in our listening area on the Oklahoma side and three or four on the Texas side that weren't in a burn ban last week. And I'm sorry, I let you down. I haven't updated you guys on that, so we'll figure it out. So the drought is going on and nothing. This snow here hasn't gone to do. But on the good side, you know, with all these cotton farmers making so much cotton, there's been a release of there's going to be more cotton seed projected to be available for dairy and beef cattle producers this year. Dairy and cattle producers can expect to see an increase in whole cotton seed supply this year, according to the United States Department of Agriculture's December Cotton and Wool Outlook Report. Cotton production is estimated at 18.3 million bales. That's 25% more than the 21 crop. I hope you guys didn't get me. You guys got me confused. Anyway, wholesale cotton seed supply is estimated to be about 1 million tons more than last year. With the increase in the 2021 U.S. upland cotton crop, producers will see increased availability of whole cottonseed to incorporate into their cattle rations. The increase in whole cottonseed availability is mainly coming out of Texas. They had a favorable growing season compared to last year, which has an increased production. When compared to the previous year, Mid-South and Southeast production has remained steady, according to Larry Johnson, Gen consultant and owner of Tactical Risk Advisor, explains. West Texas accounts for roughly one-third of each year's planted acreage. Dry conditions there last year caused widespread abandonment. For this year's crop, there was more rain, and the improvement in moisture provided a boost to the national production. It was also a quieter year for hurricanes, which also helped bring in more fiber and more cottonseed. John Devine, senior economist for Cotton Incorporated, this supply increase is good news for the dairy and beef producers looking for to incorporate whole cottonseed into their feeding program. In the past year, quality harvests like this have stabilized the price of whole cottonseed, making it more accessible to producers and increasing its value in the cattle rations. Whole cottonseed is a single feed ingredient with the valuable benefit of three key nutrients. The unique feed ingredient provides a high level of energy, protein for muscle growth and performance, and fiber for effective ruminant function and digestive health. Whole cottonseed is commonly used on dairies across the United States to increase milk production and butter fat in the milk, which added to the cow's ration, but beef cattle producers can take advantage of the triple nutrient composite of effective fiber, available fat, and protein. Additionally, whole cottonseed has potential to reduce the overall number of feedstuffs in a ration while meeting the nutrient demands of the animal for both dairy and beef operations. So that's a good thing. Get you some cottonseed. I mean, I remember back in the day when these cotton gins were in every town and dust was flying over Elk City and Burns Flat and Deal City and Sayre, if the wind was out of the west out there. But man, there was guys just begging for dumps of the what was left over from cleaning, getting the cotton gin there, and just dumping them out there, and them cows will be piled up in them big old piles of cottonseed hulls and stuff. But anyway, it's good. I did learn that probably most of the cottonseed in Texas is sold to all those big deer ranches down there, as private ranches and high fence ranches. There it go, in South Texas, because that one I was working on down there on the border, that's all they fed their deer and elk on those big hunting ranches was cottonseed. And according to this biologist, wildlife biologist that I talked to a couple of times, it was every ranch down there has got their own private biologist. He said that, you feed them that cottonseed, and those feeders out there, and their 3.5-year-old white-tailed deer down there was the same size as a white-tailed deer it'd take to get to 5.5-year-old here in western Oklahoma. So that's what they did, and just all it does is it accelerated everything. Instead of waiting to shoot them at 5.5, they were shooting them at 3.5 years old. So anyway, that's what they used it for down there, so it was a pretty good deal. Well, when I come back, I'll have the Long Ranger forecast brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden, and we'll finish up the show for the weekend so you guys can all get ready to get all your chores done and head on up there to Cheyenne tomorrow to the Western Oklahoma Bull Sale put on by the Roger Mills Cattle Counting Association. Sorry, I hadn't slept much, so I'm kind of fumbly mouth. No more than normal, probably. Anyway, you guys, we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
One degree away from thawing. 22 is our wind chill. The winds are out of the west at 10 miles an hour, gusting to 13. Today, sunny and high, 34. Looks like we're going to get there. Tonight, cold, 13. Tomorrow, 41. Tomorrow night, 14. Sunday, 45. Sunday night, 22. Monday, 51. And Tuesday's 57. And looking at the long range forecast, on my phone a while ago, we're going to be after Tuesday or after Monday, we're basically going to be in the high 50s to low 60s. So here comes some pretty weather, and maybe all my little ladies out here west of Elk City will decide it's time to have a calf, and I won't have to worry about this for the next winter storm coming in. So I take care of my cattle. I love my cattle. So, because even Dr. Mouse said yesterday, she said, you pay yours a little more attention than the average Joe. And I said, yes, ma'am. But heifers and sub-zero weather, not a good combination. I got a question for you guys. What is your thoughts on when do you like to calve? February, March, April, you doing fall calves? Because, you know, used to, you only wanted to calve during the spring because fall calvers didn't bring squad to the sale barns. Well, now that thing's kind of changed around where, you know, especially your lighter weight, your 500 and less calves are bringing pretty much the same year-round, most of the time, not all the time. I mean, the pandemic, if you took the pandemic 2 years out and looked at the market and stuff, except for some of the crashes back in the 80s, I'd say it's pretty much the same market for the most part. And we had the drought. You know, you guys remember when we come out of the drought, 15 and 15, holy moly, bred cows were unreal and pears were unreal. And I had some 450, 500-pound calves bringing 1,200 bucks. That was good. We don't get to see that all the time. I got a paper missing. Bear with me a second here. It was laying on the floor. No wonder I couldn't see it. Next week, the 11th and 12th, at the Paycom Center, the PBR Express Ranches Invitational will be coming. It'll be bull riding. That's all you need to know. It's going on at the Paycom Center. And Wednesday, I'm going to have one of those special guests that will be, he's going to be here talking with me on the show, one of the bull riders. And he actually owns a bull stock company. And so Anyway, he's going to be on here Wednesday. Cody will be. And I'm excited to see him on here. But you guys will have to be listening Monday or Tuesday. I'm not going to tell you which day. I got two tickets left to give away. And so I'll have a question for you. Yesterday, we had a winner on my first go-around. And I did get the best tickets out of the bunch because the early morning show and the other guys, they all get their share of the tickets. But I did get the best seating out of the bunch, so you guys will be excited who win the tickets off the Today and Ag show. How that's going to turn out for you, so it'll all be good. But anyway, hey, when do you guys like to calve? February, March, April? When do you put the bulls in? When do you like to calve? Because everybody says, why are you calving right now? Well, I had a unique situation with the use of the four bulls that I put on these 35 girls. So, you know, he's got to breed his cattle. So I had to breed before he bred so I could use his bulls. Does that make sense? But it's still all right. I mean, I hated this weather come. So far, I'm not doing too bad. I mean, I did lose one, but I don't know that the weather had anything to do with that one. So I think she was just being a heifer anyway. So let me know on the text line, 580-225-9697, when you guys like to calve. What's the popular? We'll see who's the smartest out there. Also, I need to reiterate that we've changed our things up around here just slightly. We haven't changed it. We just added. How's that? We've added. I'm streaming live on Facebook and on KECOFM.com now. And if you missed the show, you can always go to KECOFM.com, hit the live air button, go down to Today in Ag, hit that, and go back to the show, the date you missed, and get on there. And you can go look it up on Facebook, too. But we've really stepped it up with the Facebook deal, you know, our community calendar and events with Jared Athan. Also, the local news. He does a great job with the local news. I listen to him all the time. Even though I work with him, doesn't mean I like him. But I do like I like his news because he reports what's going on. And then also, you know, you got that daily agriculture update every morning around 7 a.m. brought to you by yours truly, Jimmy Clark. And then you got Skinny, Aaron Cout. He's got the Skinny on Sports on Facebook, and then live radio talk shows we have right here on. We got the early morning show, we got Exploring Energy, we got Tradio, we got me, we got it going on. And then you always get the Penny News weather report. So let's see here, calve middle of March through June 1st. All right, thank you. The old saying used to be, you got a calve during February, March, or at least February. Some guys, there's a lot of baby calves on the ground right now. So January, February, calving. That way they're ready for the livestock market in August and September, ready to go on wheat pasture in November and December. That used to be the only reason calves were born in the months of January and February. But I think all that's changed. Different outlook. The whole cattle industry has changed. You know, just go buy you some old cows and throw out there on some grazed off grass and throw a bull in there and you get what you get and take them to the sale barn. I think those days are over. That doesn't mean we're not still taking them to the sale barn, because I do. Not everybody follows theirs all the way to the feedlot, but people, the buyers at the sale barns are even looking for the right cattle. And when I get Mr. Taylor back on here one of these days, when he I think he's already on his way back from the show, NCBA show down there, we're going to talk a little about that, because if there's one person, and I know there's a bunch, and I'm not going to mention everybody's name without their permission, but Jimmy, as long as I keep it clean, doesn't mind me talking about him, but doing these well, Jimmy Davis last week was talking about it, doing these DNA samples, doing this, doing that, doing this, you know, to improve your carcass. Because the number one bottom line, there's two things that a producer, cattleman, whether he's farmer or rancher, wants to do. He wants to get the most for his cattle, but he also wants to make sure the consumer is happy too. Because if the consumer's not happy, nobody's buying our beef. So that's the main thing. Well, got one from the major. September after Labor Day weekend, since we mostly get our bad weather in February. Yeah, you're spot on there, sir. But so number one goal right now is make sure the consumer's happy and satisfied. And beef has come a long ways. And there's some great-looking cattle out there around this country. They're just not, you know, there's very few spots, and I'm not dogging on this deal, but there's very few spots anymore where you drive by and you see a big old mixed herd out there. You either see black baldies, black ones, reds, red-white face, Herefords, are all Charolais or Charolais crosses, and you don't see a lot of Brangus in our area anymore. Back in the 80s, there used to be a lot of Brangus, and mainly because back in the 80s at the sale barn, I always remember going to Clinton. This is where I met Rex Fleming, was at Clinton. When you went back to the sale barn at Clinton back in the mid-80s, they always wanted some baldies, black baldies, with just a little bit of ear on them. And there's still some ear around here, but not like it was back in the 80s. I mean, everybody wanted those black baldies. But well, we're running out of time. I hope you guys enjoyed this week with the Today in Ag show. And it's been fun. It's really fun doing this. And again, a big thank you to all my sponsors, but the new ones, Jim and Debbie Davis and Jordan. Thank you for being a sponsor on the show now. And then also we up there at a computer broke down. There it is. Up there in Visalia, we got all kinds of things going on with Everett's Welding Repair. If you guys have never been up there and bought corner posts, fencing supplies, they got some working chutes, the whole nine yards. They'll build you anything you want up there. So anyway, God bless. Have a great weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Fun, right? Isn't this fun? This is nice.
KECO, Elk City.
A partial victory lap for the president. Lisa Brady, Fox News. He's highlighting a blowout jobs report for January while also acknowledging there is more work to do.
Average people are getting clobbered by the call.